Shalom, precious saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program in its new format of a half hour. But don't worry, I still plan on giving you lots of teachings for your spiritual growth in these very last days, as well as keeping you informed on what's happening in Israel, who are right now on very high alert, watching its northern and Golan Heights borders as its various enemies of not just the radical Sunni ISIS, but also a mixture of Shiites from Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, all inching closer to Israel's border. Do I need to remind you it's the Iranian Shiites who are even more serious than the Sunnis about wiping Israel off the map, which is why Prime Minister Netanyahu is very troubled about the assuredly bad deal Obama is about to make with Iran. And he's still planning on talking with our Congress in a few weeks, without, of course, our Vice President Biden in attendance, and certainly not our perturbed president who refuses to see Bibi at all. Remember Iran, once called Persia, with its ally Russia and other Muslim countries, will attack Israel during the tribulation as prophesied in Ezekiel 38. Yep, the popcorn's in the pan and is beginning to sizzle, and anti-Israel Obama is obviously clearing the path for a nuclear-armed Iran. Now, here's a question for you. Do you think it might just be possible that the reason so many moderate Sunnis are being killed in Iraq is not just from ISIS, but perhaps Iran's Revolutionary Guards, who are also in Iraq? Are they just there to fight ISIS? Or are they also killing Sunnis, but then blaming ISIS for the attacks? And maybe anti-Israel Obama wants Iran, who are Shiites, to be victorious? After all, his very closest advisor, Valerie Jarrett, is an Iranian. Dot, dot, dot. On the other hand, we see Israel, Jordan's strong ally since 1994, who are moderate Sunnis, is providing extra drones for King Abdullah's recent decision to beef up bombing raids and to gather more sophisticated intelligence against ISIS since the burning alive of the Jordanian Air Force pilot. Also, ISIS now has a strong presence on Israel's southern Sinai border with Egypt, who yesterday bombed an ISIS camp in Libya due to the recent attacks and the beheadings of 21 of its Coptic Catholics, who were in Libya at the time trying to get work, but were kidnapped by ISIS, who has now expanded their territory into northern Libya too. Now, looking at a map, you can see that Libya is directly across the Mediterranean from Italy, who ISIS has recently threatened and told them to watch out, for their plan is to conquer Rome in retaliation for the Crusades. Wonder where they recently heard that. You know, as soon as I heard Obama use that comparison, and you probably thought it too, I was sure that ISIS would utilize that excuse, and now they have. So what will the Pope do with this new threat? Well, he'll probably push NATO real hard, and Italy too, to act strongly, because there is no way ISIS can conquer Rome. Just not going to happen. Obviously, anti-Semitism continues to grow in Europe, and Netanyahu is encouraging all Jews from Europe to make Aliyah to their homeland. God said they would come, for he already knew they would be persecuted again. My question is, how will God get them to leave America? Ever think about that? Send me your thoughts. And remember, the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland. Now, let's begin the main portion of our program by asking my husband to ask God for his blessing.
Thank you, honey. Dear Abba, Father, we praise you and we covet your extra presence over this program tonight as we lift up those special requests that have recently been given to us, as well as those listening tonight and listening right now, for we know your word says that you will always hear the prayers of the righteous. In Jesus' name, amen.
And he does hear the prayers of the righteous.
Amen.
Now, before we get into our main topic, let me explain. We have a slightly different format, so to get in as much as possible. And to do that, I won't be able to take live calls during the program. However, I do really want your in-time questions, and we'll try to answer them the following week. So, Dan, could you please tell our listeners how they can do that with their questions?
I'd be happy to. There are three ways to do this. You can email to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or if you want to use snail mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021, or just call the office and leave us a detailed message as to your question. And that phone number is 440-834-9006. Again, that's 440-834-9006. And, of course, we have the appropriate. We always appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on the webpage at shofarministries.net.
Thank you, dear.
How's that?
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
All right.
Now I'll bow out and you can get to the important part. The teaching.
All right. Anyway, a question that comes up a lot, in fact, over the many years of teaching end time prophecy, is what end time sign would I place above all the others? And the answer has always been the return of the Jews to Israel since 1948. And you know, that was prophesied by God through the prophets. A real miracle due to all that they've been through. My goodness, dating back clear to the Assyrians and the 10 lost tribes that now have all been found. Praise the Lord. So to have their own homeland again since the dispersions of 70 AD from the Romans is just amazing. But then, of course, God is amazing, isn't he? Well, that's what I always used to say. And then soon after that, I was adding the knowledge explosion, you know, Daniel 12:4. And that's still at the top. And we might cover some of that next time. But not number one this year. And even though the earthquakes are increasing exponentially, like 11 in one day in Texas and California is just off the charts. But I have to say, the most exciting sign to me is this year's second set of blood moons and the two solar eclipses. And we don't talk about those too often, but they're pretty important right now. Now, that's not only important because we have the science to know that they are coming. I mean, we know they're coming without a doubt. But it's the specific days they fall on, which is truly amazing to me. And again, even the solar eclipses. Now, obviously, they are unique in that these tetrads, and a tetrad means there's four of them in 2 years on the same two feast days of all things. And they have only occurred, these tetrads, nine times since Jesus was crucified. In fact, it occurred the year before and the same year he died. And in conjunction with a solar eclipse too on the Passover that he was crucified. Do you think that was just a coincidence, like some Bible teachers are claiming this latest sequence of blood moons are? I mean, they're saying, oh, well, that's just a coincidence. They really don't mean anything. Some are really saying that. Even though there are so many other signs accompanying this tetrad. Now, doesn't it make sense to surmise that maybe God is saying, hey, this is important, folks. Look up and realize something's going on here. Are you kidding me? Okay, I can agree that the singular blood moons are maybe not significant, but without a doubt, these tetrads, all four, occurring, on Passover in Tabernacles, are signals from God that something big has either just happened or will, most particularly affecting Israel. And since we have been grafted in, it's going to affect us too. Now, a chart is available for your examination on our webpage. And although we are not sure of the tetrad details happening during the Dark Ages, since anti-Semitism was high and records were not all that scrupulous when it came to the Jews, but we can certainly still see clearly from history that the tetrads from at least 1492, at the time of the Spanish Inquisition, when all the Jews were expelled from Spain, and over the next few years, Jews suffered horrendous pain and torture, resulting in thousands of deaths, particularly if they did not convert to Catholicism. Even if they did convert, they were often accused of heresy and burned at the stake. And all that was brought on by the Vatican, orchestrated by a priest named Tomás de Torquemada. And the source for that, if you want to check it out, is JewishVirtualLibrary.org. Now, we also think that Christopher Columbus was Jewish and one of a Catholic convert who left Spain and is credited for discovering America. And many believe that he knew his Bible well and therefore was sure, because of Scripture, that the earth was certainly not flat, because Isaiah 40:22 says it wasn't. Now, to refresh you, blood moons are when the moon appears red due to lunar eclipses. They occur when the earth is positioned exactly between the sun and the moon. The earth's shadow blocks the sun's light, which would normally reflect off the moon. Then the delicate layer of dusty air surrounding our planet reddens and redirects the light of the sun, filling the dark behind the earth with a sunset red glow. Now, this is in contrast to a solar eclipse where the moon is positioned between the earth and the sun, causing darkness. Now, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1 to see what God says about his heavenly creations. Of course, we all know that the sun and the moon give us light. It says so. The moon is the lesser light and the sun is the greater light, and it divides the night and the day. But God also added something else that makes verse 14 a gold nugget. These signals, well, let me read it to you. He said, "And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." Genesis 1:14. The word for signs, as I've told you probably other times on this program, means signals. Number 226, O-W-T-H, and it means signals. And then the word for seasons is moed, and that is the same word that you use for feasts, which means appointments. So not only are they for light, but they're for signals and appointments. Now, that kind of puts a great meaning on that. So these signals are divinely set since the beginning of time to speak to all humans, but especially to those who know and worship the true Creator. So to myself and many others, the blood moons say a lot, especially since Scripture addresses their significance. If you want to only look back at the last two tetrads, you can plainly see that. Yes. Israel was going through some major calamities. For example, as soon as Israel became a state in 1948, they had to defend it in a war to keep it. Then, the following July of 49, the Arab truce was finally signed. Now, the first blood moon of the tetrad occurred in April of 49, just before that and still during the war. And then the second blood moon occurred after the truce was implemented, and then the second set in 1950. Now, we can see a pattern here, because during the Inquisitions, there occurred a tetrad as well, with the first blood moon occurring just 9 months after the Jews were expelled from Spain. So another Israeli defense war happened in June of 1967. Well, there had been the first blood moon of another tetrad just 2 months earlier on Passover. This time, God helped them not just to win the war in 6 days. It happened to be the week before Pentecost. And they regained Jerusalem, the Golan Heights, and the Gaza Strip, which, as you know, they gave back in 2005. The prime minister at that time was Ariel Sharon, who also talked about giving back the West Bank, but soon suffered a stroke. And he remained in a coma to actually just last year when he was pronounced legally dead in 2014. By the way, there was a word of knowledge associated with Prime Minister Sharon's death made by a well-loved and respected rabbi named Rabbi Kaduri, who in his last years became a closet believer, I guess you could say, and he wrote in a note to be only read a year after Kaduri's death that proclaimed Jesus was indeed the Messiah, and that Prime Minister Sharon would die before the Messiah would come. Well, he died a year ago this month, last month, and many are wondering if this is the year when things really begin to happen, setting the stage for the end times and Jacob's trouble. That's Daniel's 70th week, you know, which also means, hello, we're out of here. And let me mention, although these two solar eclipses is very important too, because they both fall on a new year. God's two new years, the civil calendar of Genesis and the religious calendar of Exodus 12. And you say, wow, that is remarkable. You're right. And especially because of Joel 2:31, who said there would be a blood moon and a dark sun before the day of the Lord begins. Now, I have to tell you, I looked up that word before because, I mean, that could mean years, I guess. But what's interesting is that the word is Panim, number 6440. And in the lexicon, it tells you that it means at the forefront or at the face of. So that's a huge clue. Not just the four blood moons, but two darkenings of the sun. Two of them. And thanks to our knowledge explosion, we know they're going to happen because NASA says so. And so does Joel. I'm telling you, people, this year could be very impressive, to say the least. So to me and many other teachers, we surmise, since we are right now in the middle of a tetrad, that another war for Israel will likely occur. Not the big one of Ezekiel 38, because that's during the tribulation. And, of course, that will bring their salvation as a whole. But perhaps a war like spoken of in Psalm 83, where Israel's borders are then expanded with no walls and then plenty of room for the rest of the Jews to go home. And I'm including from America, because let's face it, the road we are on, most will want to leave. And if I were Jewish, I'd be on a plane there myself. And then the day of the Lord will begin. And I think it's also interesting that the Pope is visiting Washington on Yom Kippur right between the last two blood moons. And then he's going to address the UN as well. A lot of people wonder what he's going to say. Some are saying that he's making an encyclical, which, if you know anything about that, it's like huge. It just means a lot. It's almost like the voice of God speaking to them. We know better. But anyway, that's left for another week. again, we don't know for sure when our exciting liftoff event will take place, but I do know it will happen sooner or later. Let me recall to your mind what Jesus did when he rebuked the Jews for not recognizing the signs and even called them hypocrites because they wanted more signs. I don't think we need any more signs. One only has to look at all that is happening And the blood moons are best of all. Now let me ask you, are you excited about his coming for us, his bride? Even though we have sadness and turmoil, some more than others, no one can take your joy of salvation away. You can give your joy away, but no one else can take it from you. So rejoice. And remember Hebrews 9:28? Well, that's so uplifting. I'll tell you what it says. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And then the next part says, to those who eagerly wait for him. Did you hear that? Eagerly wait for him. He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. But this time the word salvation is soteria, and it means to rescue or to be delivered. What do you think about that? Study Hebrews 9:28. Underline it in your Bible. Memorize it. It's a great scripture. And whether it's this year or next, remember that Paul says we are adding more stones in that crown of righteousness. So our time is gone, and I am so excited that you've joined me tonight, and I hope you'll join next week as we study the Word of God. And I'm going to close with the Aaronic blessing. Yivarekka Adonai v'yishmerekka, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yuneka, Yasa Adonai panav eleka v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week, Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for those who love her shall prosper. Till next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.